Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Launching Out into the Deep.
Launching out into the deep. You can call it going deeper. Just call it deeper. Launch. Okay. And as I said, one of my concerns for this era of contemporary Christianity is that we're tending to produce a whole lot of just carnal, baby, wimpy, shallow Christians. And in a church like this, as much as we love the word and teach the word, that ought not to be the case. Amen. And so we said, in order to be productive Christians who build and expand the kingdom of God and fulfill our assignment on earth, which I summarize it as doing damage to the kingdom of darkness and expanding the kingdom of God, is necessary for us to launch out into the deep and go deeper. So we've been talking about going deeper, and we start talking last week saying that when you go deeper, you know the voice of God. We looked at Samuel, how Samuel was serving in ministry, but he didn't know the voice of God. So we're going to go deeper. We got to know the voice of God, know when he's speaking and know what he's saying above what other people are saying. One of the things, I was sharing this with Pastor Trey a couple weeks ago, one of the things that I got from Pastor Dollar early on in the early years is that he would tell us things like, we would ask certain questions in certain settings. He'd say, I'm not going to run your ministry. You're going to have to press into God for that. You're going to have to press into God. So one thing, if you can't just run to people for answers and run to people to solve all your problems, you learn to press into God. Amen. Now, it's an advantage to be able to have people of wisdom around you, and people of counsel around you, and people of resources around you. But some of us have not been as privileged to have all that. And so one of the things that sometimes, and it may seem like a disadvantage in the natural, but the spiritual advantage for that is that you learn to press into God. Really, you learn to press into God. You know what I'm saying? Okay, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. If all your friends broke and all your family broke, okay, and you don't know anybody who has ever had $1,000 at one time, you learn to press into God. Amen. Because you know, I don't have no family. I don't have no friends. You know, I said to my daughter Kendra recently, I was messing with her, and she said, and I was asking her about certain things, about her job search. And she said, well, Dad, I ain't really looking for a job. Right. I said, I said, yeah, So you're able to do this because you got something and somebody to fall back on. Mark Zuckerberg said that. If you get a chance, go out and look at Mark Zuckerberg's commencement address that he has, that he just recently did a commencement address to Harvard, where he dropped out. Where he dropped out and became a multi-billionaire. But, and he said, there's something wrong with the country. He said, when I can drop out of college and go make all this money, he said, and people graduate from college and can't even pay the student loans. Okay. But then he went on and said this. He said, I could not have done what I've done without knowing that I was going to be okay, even if this company didn't work. He said, I couldn't have done what I've done if I didn't know that I had somebody and something to fall back on. In that case, he's talking about a family. And so, I mean, it's good to be able to have people to fall back. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And that's part of the reason why what parents ought to be able to do for the kids, allow them to launch out and take some risks. But some of us have not always had those privileges of having the best families or people around us. And so that's the negative and the natural. But the spiritual side of that thing, you learn to press into God. You learn to depend on God, because I can't depend on anybody else. You know that God got to supply your needs because nobody else is going to supply them. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, what that does is, in the words of Bishop Jake, that give you some grit. That give you some grit. I got to make this thing happen. I got to press into God. And here's the other thing. It also makes you fine tune your ear, because I can't afford to miss God. And don't mean we're not going to miss God, but it's certain things like, this is too much risk at stake. I need to know this is what the Lord said. I need to know that I'm hearing God. And in order to make these kind of decisions, you need to go deeper in your relationship with God so that you can know his voice. And we spend some time talking about that so God can reveal things to us. And we said that launching deep, it may require us to leave some people at the shore. Amen. Everybody can't go with you. Everybody who started with you, not going to go with you. Not only that, everybody who started with you, some of them shouldn't go with you. Okay? And a good example we can look at that is Abraham and Lot. God told Abraham to go, and who went with him? Lot. But at some point, Abraham realized, you know what? Where I'm going, you can't go. We need to part. He said, I'm a man of peace. That we can make this as simple as you want to make it. See, if you go left, I go right. You go north, I go south. You go northeast, I go southwest. As long as we go in opposite directions. So he realized what God was doing in his life, where God was calling him, that the person who started with him couldn't go with him. Sometimes we got people on our boat, on our ship, who are holding the ship back, Jonah. You're causing us problems that we don't need to have, because you ain't even supposed to be on the ship. Jonah was never supposed to be on the ship going down to Tarshish. He was supposed to be going to Nineveh. But because he was on a ship that he wasn't supposed to be on, going in the direction he wasn't supposed to go, he caused problems for the other folks who hadn't done anything. Everybody who started with you can't go with you. And when God's calling you to deeper, sometimes you got to be willing to leave some people at shore. We looked at 2 Timothy 2, 20 through 22. And we talked about what it takes to be a vessel unto honor, fit and meet for the master's use, which means you may have to separate yourself from some people if there's a higher calling on your life, or there's special uses that God wants to use you for. So you won't be average. And then we said some people leave you voluntarily. And others leave you, but it still may be God's plan for your life, because they are not going to the same place you're going, or the same direction that you're going. We looked at 1 John 2:19. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And so sometimes you don't realize who people really are or aren't until after they left you. Okay, until I never knew they were really like that. But this exposed how they really are. Them no longer being in your house or working at your company or in relationship with you. It really shows who they really are. Because, you know, some people's character is only good character when they're around other people who got good character. Some people's good character is only good character as long as they're around other people who got good character. In other words, you're being the salt preserver in them. When they get from around you, you see what they really are. Amen. And can I tell y'all something? That's not how we should be as Christians. I gotta say as church people, as Christians. Because church people are just church people. Y'all know the difference between church people and Christians. Amen. And then, you know what I also discovered? It's the difference between some of these Christians and it's the difference between some of these Christians and saved folks. A lot of you Christians, we just need to get y'all saved. Come on now. A lot of you born again Christians, y'all really need to get saved. I found out there's a difference. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you used to be, well, I'm a Christian. Now we got to ask them, are you born again? I'm born again. Well, are you saved? There's differences. There's levels in this thing is what I'm discovering. Let's move on. So we said launching out into the deep is going to require you to move beyond your comfort zone. And so Matthew 14, 28 through 29, Jesus calls Peter and said, Peter, come on out on the water. Or Peter asked Jesus, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come on. Come on, you're bad. Go for it. Jesus says to Peter, feeling froggy? Jump. And when Peter was come down out the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus. That's a good verse, verse 29. When he was come down out the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus. Before it says he sank, Peter walked on the water. We only know two human beings in all of history who walked on water, and that's Jesus and that's Peter. But Peter began to sink, but he walked on the water before he began to sink. The rest of us, we just sink. Amen. And I told you, and I kind of made a little joke about this. About I heard Pastor Dallas used to talk about he practiced walking on the water. So I said, I had my private pool. I'm going to practice walking on the water too. And I found I kept practicing. And then one day I was telling this story, kind of joking about it, and I got the revelation why I couldn't walk on the water. Y'all remember the reason why I couldn't walk on the water? Why? Because Jesus didn't call me to walk on the water. He told Peter to walk on the water. Okay. That's a little bit comical, but it's so practical. Because sometimes we wonder why we're not succeeding at doing stuff. It's because the Lord didn't tell us to do that. The Lord told Peter to walk on the water. And Peter asked him. He said, come on. And so we're trying, sometimes we keep failing at things, failing. Well, Peter did it, and Paul did it, and Pastor Bailey did it, and Opportunity did it, and this one, that, and that one did it, and whatever. But it's not what God told you to do. There's an anointing to do what God called you to do. There's an empowerment to do what God called you to do. And on the other hand, you can be empowered in this area, anointed in this area, and totally powerless, totally unanointed in this area. You know, that's one of the things I got to answer about this many years ago, and it's going to help many of you. Well, I don't understand, okay, how this could be such a great healing evangelist, or healing pastor, healing minister, and then he gets cancer and dies. Well, this person could be so successful in praying for others here, and that same thing happened to them. How? And a lot of times, any y'all ever wonder about that kind of stuff? Well, here's the answer. Here's the answer. The anointing, whatever the anointing is on you, is not for you. It's for somebody else. Whatever anointing you have, it's to remove burdens and destroy yokes in other people's lives. Remember that concept I've often teach you. We're deficient by design. So God designed us that we need to be dependent and interdependent with other people. So even though you're anointed to pray and get folks healed, well, perhaps when you get sick, you're going to need somebody else who's anointed to pray and to get you healed. So it is not good for man to be alone, all one. And so this whole thing of I don't need anybody, that ain't even scriptural. I don't need anybody. All I need is Jesus. Well, Adam had nobody had a better relationship with God than Adam when God created him. He came and talked to him, and he was the only human being for him to talk to. Uninterrupted. Nobody had a better relationship with God than Adam. God would just come walk and talk to him in the garden in the cool of the day. And yet God looked at him and said, it's not good for man to be all alone. Two words, all one. Amen. So you got to be moving beyond your comfort zone. Let me add this one. Number three, launch into the deep. The Lord just gave me this one. May require you to do more than others. See, a lot of times, those of us who God has a great calling on our lives and we want to be great in whatever, we got to do more than other folks. And sometimes it frustrates you. I'm just going to tell him myself. I told God, they don't do that. I've heard them talk. They don't mind what they say. They don't do this. They don't do that. Then I catch myself and I'm like, Peter, nevertheless, according to thy word, I'll do what you told me to do. But if you start comparing yourself to other people who may not have the same calling, may have the same assignment, then you mess yourself up. There's a scripture I've been meditating on for some reason. The Bible said, it said the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked perverteth him. See, it said, just by you being a child of God, you already are more excellent. He said, but the way of the wicked, he says, seduces him. So you end up being messed up by somebody who's wicked, who look like they're prospering. Psalm 73, in Psalm 37. That's where David cries out. He said, I almost slipped when I looked at the prosperity of the wicked. The prosperity of the wicked. Yes, wicked people can prosper. Y'all know the drug dealer driving better than y'all. Make you mad sometimes. It's like a jungle. Makes me wonder. I keep from going under. How I'm up here tithing? And they're out there selling poison and driving better than me and living better than me. And see, if you can get messed up by looking at that kind of stuff. Can I tell you what wisdom, my wife and I were discussing this over breakfast today. Know what wisdom does, y'all? Wisdom gives you the ability to look at things long term. See, too many people make decisions all based upon short term. I never thought about this. My son Chandler said this. We were talking one day, and he said to me, he said, Dad, it seemed like you always had the ability, even when you were young, a kid, to think long term. And as I looked about it, I said, yeah, that's why I never tried weed. Really, everybody around me was weeding. Okay? Everybody around me. In my house, my brothers, my sisters. But I saw all around me the effects of people who smoke weed. And it's usually where it started. And I just like, okay, I saw how they ended up. I saw what not doing well in school, how they ended up. Some kind of way God has always blessed me to be able to think long term. And too many people to make really bad decisions because you're only thinking for the moment. See, this person you sleep with, that ain't just a boyfriend. That's potentially a father and a grandfather. You think about a boyfriend. You ain't thinking about your grandchildren's grandfather. Mm-hmm, y'all quiet on me. Because you think it's your turn. Will this person make a good grandfather? Does he have the potential to even grow into a smart grandfather? Or is it too far along? Or is he too far away from the wisdom that even a father would need? We think short term. Wisdom is the ability of God to take the past and the present, make good decisions that's going to produce a favorable future. Pulls it all together. That's why the wisdom of God, sometimes God don't give you all the answers. You just know on the inside. No, I ain't supposed to do that. And you realize later either what it produced or what it didn't produce or why God told you not to do that. That's good there. Launches may require you to do more than others. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. Paul has to tell the Corinthians twice. And when I made this, when the Lord gave me this point, he brought these scriptures to me. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. Paul said, I'm the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle. He said, truth of the matter is, I didn't walk with Jesus. I wasn't on a boat with him. I wasn't in the garden with him. I wasn't on the mountain transfiguration with him. I did not have a natural fleshy relationship with him like the other apostles, Peter and John and Matthew and Mark. No, he said, I wasn't there. I'm the least of the apostles. That is almost unreasonable or almost not even suitable for me to really be called an apostle in the sense that they were apostles. Then he says, furthermore, because I persecuted the church of God. I wasn't even one of y'all. I was trying to stop y'all and threaten y'all and kill y'all and persecute y'all. Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Man, that's good right there. Paul said, I wasn't even one of y'all, but I'm one of you now because of the grace of God. Some of y'all think I didn't qualify, but praise God, God's grace did not ask y'all. By the grace of God, I am. How he get there? By the grace of God. And grace, grace is not fair. Grace is just loving. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Oh, this is so good. He said, the grace, the favor, the endowment of God's love that he put on my life was not in vain. Look, by this grace, I labored more abundantly than they all. Oh, he said, God's grace on me has enabled me to do more than all of them. God, even though I didn't walk with Jesus in the flesh, God's grace upon me has enabled me to found more churches than Peter did. See, that's what he's implying here. To travel to more places, to preach to more people, to have more converts than any of them, because God's grace caused me to be able to labor. Oh, this is so good. Because some people think, well, you don't have to do anything because of grace. He said, no, God's grace enabled me to labor. Y'all see that? But I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. God's grace helped me to do more than other folks. Glory to God. Lord, it's so good. So you say, see, I got to do more than everybody else. That's because God's grace is on you to do more. See, God requires more of me than requires of other people. That's because God's grace is on you to meet those requirements. God doesn't ask you anything that he doesn't give you the grace to do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, through his anointing, through his grace that strengthens me. So if you got a higher calling and look like God's demanding more of you, then there's more grace to get it done. Hallelujah. It takes more parenting grace with four kids than it does with two. But his grace is sufficient. It takes more parenting grace to have six kids or 10 kids than it does five. But his grace is sufficient. Now, you can go around complaining about your lot in life and go, I just can't handle all it. I can't do it. Or you can say, thank God. God's given me the grace to do everything he called me to do. Whether that's to be the husband, the wife, the parent, if God gave, because a lot of times when we say God gave us the job, get this job until it's too hard. My staff can tell you, sometimes when stuff come up, there's an ongoing problem, a physical resource problem that we've been having for the last couple of years, and it's very frustrating to us. It's cost us thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars. And it recently came up again, and they can tell you, when we sit around, I got to make these decisions, it just comes out of my mouth. All I want to do is preach the gospel. I don't want to deal with all these building problems, and all I want to do was preach the gospel. I don't want to do all that. All I want to do is preach the gospel. I didn't go to school, get a degree in how to negotiate how much noise you can make in your church for the community. I don't have to deal with personnel issue and people's moral failures and all that, and how those kind of things affect the ministry. And you can, I can focus on all that or say, his grace is sufficient. If this comes with it, then I got the grace, because God knows all this going to come with it. And can I tell y'all something? There's some stuff you can't delegate. So we don't feel as sorry for folks who got certain resources and help. But even with help, can I tell y'all something? There's some stuff you can't delegate. You can have all the help. There's some stuff you got to deal with. I don't care what position you are. There's some stuff you got to deal with. Oprah said it many years ago, and it came from, can't say his name no more, Dr. Huxtable. And Dr. Huxtable told Oprah, he said, you got to count your own money. Sign your own checks. Why? Tell her, I don't care, all the people around you. Certain stuff you can't delegate. And since you can't delegate everything, stuff that you got to handle, even that you don't want to handle, you just let it be your confession. God's grace is sufficient. This comes with the territory. Amen. So you got, sometimes you got to be willing to do more if you're going to go out deeper. 2 Corinthians 11, 22, 23, Paul says it again. He said, he's talking about all these other folks who are getting the Corinthians off and talking about Paul and got stuff to say about Paul. And Paul said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. That's why I tell Jewish people when I meet them. You the seed of Abraham? He said, so am I. mess up. Many be afraid. We are the seed of Abraham. Amen. Are they the seed of Abraham? Paul says, so am I. Are they ministers of the Christ? He said, now I'm speaking as a fool. He's talking about my own merits or my own qualifications. That's why that's thrown in parenthesis. He said, I speak a fool. I'm more of a minister of Christ than they are. He said, in laborers more abundant. That's what I want you to see there. In strife, above measure. He said, I've been persecuted more than them. In prison, I've been in jail more than them for the gospel. In death or threat of death, often. But I want to see in labors more abundant. That's what I want you to see. In labors more abundant. He's Paul said, I've had to do more.
If you're going to go deeper in God, you'll have to make some adjustments. It may be uncomfortable, but Dr. Herbert Bailey calls us to launch out and fully understand the depth of God. Order this message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Launching Out into the Deep.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.